Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports and a Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. You know, good to have you on the show, as always. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming on the show. On today's show, we're going to talk about the end of the potential end of the road of Aaron Rodgers as a member of the Green Bay Packers and possibly a member of the Jets. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Knicks, how they're playing recently, and that huge win they just got over the Nuggets this afternoon. Also talk about the road to WrestleMania, what's going on there. Talk a little bit about the Oscars, the Oscar wins, and whatever else. WBC, Edwin Diaz getting hurt, Brandon Nimmo getting hurt also. You know, we're also going to talk about that. And, you know, whatever else is on your mind. You know, this is sports, entertainment, everything else. You want to talk about that, you're at the right place. So if you want to do that, feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. Feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. With that said, before I dive into the main topic, which today's episode is called Aaron Rodgers Wants to Be a New York Jet. You know, he recently won the Pat McAfee show. We're gonna dive into that, but I feel like I gotta cover that shocking Edwin Diaz injury that happened at the WBC. And in case if any you guys don't know, which I'm pretty sure if you're a Mets fan or in a you know even a baseball fan, you know what happened. Edwin Diaz, the All-Star closer with the Mets. Who had his best season last year. Clearly, he was head and shoulders above all the other closers last year with his dominance. You know, he had the Timmy Trumpet, you know, go, like, viral with the, you know, the Mets fans' interaction, you know, to his impressive season, you know, definitely catapulted Edwin Diaz's celebrity status to a whole nother level. But unfortunately, he injured himself celebrating the Puerto Rican national team defeating the Dominican team in, I think it was the quarterfinals, to advance to the quarterfinals, if I'm not I think it was the quarterfinals, and they went to advance to the quarterfinals, if my memory serves me right. And then they, unfortunately, to them, they lost to Mexico last night. Edwin Diaz, obviously, Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic, you know, those are like the, you know, generally the top two teams that produce the most stars in the game right now. And then I would say, you know, probably us, you know, America would be third, you know, on that list. But yeah, man, I understand they're they're excited. They beat a Dominican team, you know, obviously that has a lot of star players for many decades, yeah, man, it wasn't even the WBC finals, man. It should save that celebration for like winning the at least the World Baseball Classic finals, man. And unfortunately, they celebrated too much. And when Diaz, I think he injured his knee and basically gone for the whole year, basically like out for like 8 months and. You know, that basically ruins the Mets' chances of trying to win a championship. I mean, are we KO'd completely? No, but in order for the Mets to win a championship, everything got to break right. I mean, they're a very talented team, but they got a target on their back. They got an even bigger target on their back, you know, because of the, you know, they have the NY on the back, you know, in the, you know, basically the front of their jersey. You know, they're the New York Mets, man. So, obviously, as a New York team, people are always going to be gunning for them. And now that they potentially have a really good team, the target's even bigger. You know what I mean? I mean, I've been a Mets fan for over 20 years. So, you know, there's even when the Mets stink up the joint, the other teams they always, you know, rise up to the occasion to whoop the Mets butt on their, you know, when they're horrible teams. So now that the Mets are good, a potentially, you know, a championship caliber team, especially with the additions of Scherzer and Verlander in the past couple of years, the targets on the Mets even bigger. So so for you, Mac, what's your thoughts on the Edwin Diaz injury, you know, the WBC as a whole, and, you know, where the Mets go from here? I actually three questions in one.
I mean, it's a pretty unfortunate situation, and pretty much it's a big blow for the Mets because, I mean, Diaz is one of the best closers in the game, and he had a great season last year with the Mets, and, you know, coming into this season, the Mets are looking to do big things, and Diaz is a big part of that. And now that he's injured, that's going to diminish things a little bit. I don't know. There's not too many good closers out there that they can go out and get. So we're going to have to see what route they take on that. But, that is a big blow. And it's fortunate that it didn't even happen, like, during the game. It happened, like, during the celebration. So that makes it much more bizarre, you know, that he got injured while celebrating, not even like throwing a pitch, you know. So, hopefully he recovers and he'll be back sometime next year. Unless we'll just have to look for someone else in the meantime to replace him. But I haven't been watching too many of this World Baseball Classic. You know, I know they're Dominican Republic, they lost to Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico just lost to Mexico. So I don't know how the U.S. has been doing, but it looks like Mexico right now is a big favorite to win it all. So, yeah.
The USA, they defeated Venezuela probably about maybe 20 minutes ago. You know, they had like a 5-2 lead, then they blew it, I think, in the fifth inning. Venezuela took the lead. They took a 6-5 lead. In that inning, they scored like four runs in that inning. And then maybe in the seventh or eighth inning, Trey Turner hits a grand slam to put the USA up, I think it was 9-7, and basically, you know, that was all she wrote. You know, Ryan Presley, the closer for the Astros, came and shut down the door. And then there was an interesting matchup with Kyle Tucker hitting a home run off his Astro teammate to make it. To make it 5-7, I think 5-3 maybe at the time, or 5-2. I can't remember the score. I think it was 5-2 or so when it happened. But yeah, the World Baseball Classic. I mean, you know, a lot of the players, they really love the World Baseball Classic because it gives them an Olympic style performance, but. Yeah, man, it's not a good look, man, that he injured himself, you know, celebrating. And it's not like if it was – it's not even like it was like the World Baseball Classic.
It wasn't even
final.
During the game. It wasn't even when he was pitching. So, I mean, that's partly his fault, really.
Yeah, man, it's messed up. It's really messed up. It's, I mean, what can you say? This, season's over, man. Now we got now Robertson, who's the setup guy, he has to most likely be the closer. I mean, fortunately for us, you know, he has postseason experience with you guys, winning a title with you guys in 2009, and then going to the World Series last year with the Phillies as their closer. So, I mean, we're in capable hands, but, you know, this weekend's the bullpen. The bullpen was our weakness last year, and they made some moves that, you know, strengthened the bullpen, you know, this year. And unfortunately, our X factor, Edwin Diaz, is already gone for the rest of the year. So it definitely, you know, destroyed the edge that we had, you know.
I hear some fans want to, they're pleading for the Mets to bring back Armando Benitez. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'm sure that Mets fan is called Macaulay Matthew, a.k.a. A Yankee fan in disguise.
No, didn't I send you a screenshot of that on Twitter?
What you said?
I sent you a screenshot of fans, they're pleading for Armando Benitez.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, fans on Twitter. Look it up.
I'll definitely look that up after this show. That's funny. Wow. Well, I mean, Armando Benitez, he pitches good from, let me see, from maybe March or April to August. Phew, when that September or October comes, man, especially against the Braves and the Yankees, oh, man, you forget about it. Man, when Piazza hit that home run, the 9/11 home run, man, I was so excited. You know, obviously, not only because of beating the Braves, but it gave everybody escape. You know, at that time, and I was so excited. And then I remember
Benitez was the ultimate terrorist because he blew up the whole
game. Don't go that far. That's not what I'm getting at. Then I remember, like, oh, man, you know, now Benitez is going to have to come in, man. He better save this game. And this was like around the time when I was still a president of the fan club. But this was when my eyes was starting to open from him, because at that time, you know, I was defending him. I was thinking, you know, hey, you know, yes, this guy blows big games, but, you know, he's gonna climb out of it, rise to the occasion. I mean, this night he did. I think it was kind of shaky, though. I think the Braves did have people on base, maybe even someone on third, but he did. Thank God he was able to save that game. But yeah, man, I don't miss him. I mean, yeah, statistically he's one of the best closers we've ever had, but when the game's on the line, especially in September, October, or against the Yankees and the Braves, the rest is history. You already know. I don't even have to go even further with that. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the Mets can go. They can look for someone else. But yeah, Robertson. Yeah, I think he can fulfill that closer role. But then again, the Mets do move him to closer. Who's going to be your setup guy?
I would say Ottavino, Raley. What'd you say?
Another former Yankee.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna get that. I read your mind. I didn't even hear what you said. I knew you were gonna go there. Yes, you're right. Yeah. We have some former Yankees on the team.
Oh yeah.
But unfortunately for you, we don't have Cano anymore. So you know you could get him back. Maybe he could ride off into the sunset with the Yankees. Show them what it's like when they won the title in 2009. You know, so.
Yeah, I think.
You never know. He went to the Braves. He went to San Diego. You know, hey, you never know. Maybe he'll you guys can put him in the you know the bench.
I heard that he was deported back to DR.
Hey, well, he had a good run. But yeah, I mean, yes. To recap, USA, they advance. USA advance against They advance against Venezuela. And so it's going to be semifinals. Cuba is going to be battling against America in the semifinals. And Mexico is going to be battling Japan. And then it looks like that, yeah. So it looks like the finale, the World Baseball Classic final is going to be on Tuesday. Tomorrow.
It's upcoming Tuesday.
Yeah. So it looks like U.S. Is this right? USA is fighting Cuba in the semifinals, like right after they played yesterday. I mean today, I should say. Monday, then Monday is Japan versus Mexico, and then Tuesday is gonna be the final, the championship game. All right, so we'll keep. So who you think's gonna win it? Let's see who
I'm hoping the U.S. can win, but you know, again, looks like Mexico is the favorite.
Yeah, so it's gonna be. So I think USA is gonna advance against Cuba. So it's gonna be Wainwright versus Elias, and then you're gonna have Japan versus Mexico. Yeah, that's gonna be tough.
Japan, they're good too. So I'm not gonna count them out. But, let's hope the USA can win it. But you know, I don't know.
I hope so too.
But yeah, because Mexico, they've already beaten Puerto Rico, so Puerto Rico beat Dominican Republic, so Mexico's looking tough.
Yep. So yeah, that's gonna be a tough one. Well, hopefully USA can pull it off, but yeah, this is a tough one. All right, so yeah. Speaking of a tough one. Yeah, let's shift gears to the big news. Oh wait, before I get into to what I was gonna say, Nimmo injured his knee too, sliding into home plate. So not home plate, second base. So yeah, the Mets, you know, hopefully it's not that serious, and hopefully he'll be able to.
Yeah, the season hasn't even started yet, and Mets players are going on the IL.
Yep. It's insane. And, we shall see.
Even you got injured this week, Will. So you're going. So Mets and Mets fans are going to IL.
Yeah, that's typical Mets season, man. Typical Mets season. The Mets fans are feeling pain all over the place. You can say that again. But, shifting gears. What do you think about your boy Dominguez getting sent down?
Well, he's been up and down in recent years, so he hasn't been the same since he smacked his wife up. But, I don't know, man. I think he has the stuff to be in the majors, but he's just inconsistent at times.
I'm talking about
Domingo Germán.
Not him. I'm talking about Jason Dominguez, your prospect.
Oh, Jason Dominguez. Oh, I thought you were talking about Domingo Germán. Okay. I haven't heard too much about him, but they sent him down recently.
Yeah, they sent him down a few days ago. So.
Oh wow. All right. Well, I mean, he's still still a young player, a prospect. So, you know, maybe he can improve and you can bring him back up to the majors again. So we'll see.
Yeah, he was batting .255, four home runs in the you know, spring training, but it wasn't enough to keep him.
Yeah, let him sharpen up his skills in the minors, you know, and then once he's ready, he'll come up. You know, right now, you know, I wish they would do something, get rid of Aaron Hicks. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
For some reason, Cashman seems to love Aaron Hicks. I don't know what the love is. This guy hasn't done much in recent years, and he's been injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they could just get rid of him.
I'm with you, man. Aaron Hicks' tenure with the Yankees should have been over a while ago.
Yeah, this offseason they should have found some way to get rid of him, you know, trade him. You know,
yeah. I think that the Yankees should have, you know, called him up, Dominguez. Like, dude hit 455 in spring training. What was it supposed to be, 456 for him to make it? Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Reward the young guy. I mean, he's like your second prospect after Volpe. So, I mean, give this guy a shot.
You might see him. I mean, you might see him during the season.
Of course. Of course, barring God forbid, a serious injury to him, he'll definitely make the squad eventually.
Yeah, I think so.
But, that was basically like my argument with Alonso in 2019. You know, this guy is, you know, very taught, you know, highly touted. Give the guy a chance. But hey, they know more than I do about, you know, bringing people up. So they feel he needs a little bit more seasoning so he could be ready. Hey,
some fine tuning.
More power to them. So, but one guy shifting gears for real this time. One guy who doesn't need any fine tuning, and that's Aaron Rodgers. You know, the future Hall of Fame quarterback, currently of the Green Bay Packers. And, just recently, a few days ago, he confirmed the rumors that he is interested in getting traded to the Jets. And if that does happen, he'd be following after his protege, or I should say his predecessor, Brett Favre, who, was the Super Bowl quarterback of the Green Bay Packers for, 18 years or so? And then, you know, he won the Super Bowl, and of course he left and went to eventually went to the Jets. So now Rodgers is trying to do the same thing, but this time via trade. So right now people are saying that, you know, the Jets have the leverage because he wants to go there. And basically, the Packers are trying to force him out, you know, so they can move on with Justin Love, you know, as their quarterback. So, yeah, who do you think have the leverage in this?
I think the Jets. I mean, Jets. Aaron Rodgers wants to go to the Jets, so obviously it's going to happen. He's going to go to the Jets. I mean, I don't see it not happening. It looks like that's the way he's leaning towards. So I see this deal going to get done within the next week or so.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, yes, definitely the Packers.
Where else could he go?
Well, I mean, it would make no sense for them to keep them when they clearly want to, have Jordan Love take over the reins. But, you know, even though the odds are in the Jets' favor, you know, what can I say, man? It's not official until it's official. You know, everybody's saying, oh, he's coming. But people said the same thing about Carlos Correa with the Mets. He's definitely here. He's definitely. They're gonna work it out. Even though there's some, they're apart. They're gonna work it out. Nope. He went back to the Twins. Donovan Mitchell. Oh, it's gonna happen. The trade's definitely gonna happen. They're just, you know, the Knicks are in the driver's seat. You know, they have all the picks. They have all the picks in the world. You know, no one's gonna be able to outtop them in this trade. And of course, Donovan Mitchell got traded to the Cavaliers. So. Yeah, the Jets have the edge right now because the Packers want to get rid of him. Aaron Rodgers wants to get traded to the Jets, but now Aaron Rodgers confirmed it, the rumor was all along was, oh, they had the deal set up. You know, everything is it's a done deal. All we need is Aaron Rodgers to say okay, and you know. And if there's no trade clause and accept the deal, then he says it's not up to him. It's up to the Packers, you know, digging in their heels, you know, to make sure they get, you know, a lot of compensation for him before they let him go. And it's, you know, like, I mean, there's rumors, oh, you know, maybe they're going to get, the Jets' top number 13 pick, or maybe two first rounds. Some people say, or maybe the Jets should only give up a third round pick for him, since he's an aging player, and he was 90% thinking about retiring before he went to the darkness retreat that he went into. And yeah, man. Do you think the Jets should give up a first round pick or two first round picks, or draw a line in the sand and say, hey, just get a third round pick? What do you think?
I mean, obviously, you're gonna have to give up a lot for Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, you're gonna have to give up top draft picks for sure, and. You know, it looks like the Jets are very desperate. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, would I do it? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you do have to be concerned about his age, because he is, he's 40, and he's entering the later stages of his football career. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that day's maybe behind him. So I'd be very concerned about that, you know, going forward and giving up top draft picks, young guys, for an older guy who's probably going to play maybe a few seasons with the Jets. So would I do it? I would not. I would honestly not. I mean, if this was Aaron Rodgers from
a few years ago, last year, at least when he won the MVP.
No, not even last year. Five, 10 years ago, yeah. But last year he didn't win MVP. Aaron Rodgers?
No, didn't he? Didn't he have like a MVP award? Let me see.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, didn't he have a good? I mean, didn't he have a good season?
Last year? Not this past year.
The one before this one, I should say.
He had a. Yeah, a couple of years ago, yeah, he had a very good year. This past year, I mean, his numbers weren't Aaron Rodgers-esque as we expected. I mean, that's also because of the offense, and he didn't have weapons around him. But
yeah, he won MVP 2011, 2014,
yeah.
2020, and 2021.
Yeah, that was a few seasons ago. But you said
that. Yeah, that's
year,
what I'm saying.
Year.
Well, yeah. Now we're in 2020. So I should say two instead of last year. I should say 2 years from now.
Yeah, but I would not give up top draft pick for Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I'd actually go after a guy like Lamar Jackson, who's young, who's versatile, athletic, and who could run. And, I mean, he's not the passer that Aaron Rodgers is, but he's younger and he can bring that excitement to New York, you know. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be with the Jets for a few seasons. You want to give him
a
draft pick
at the most.
A guy who's going to be here for a few seasons at most.
Yeah, and that's if you're lucky, because he could be 1 year and done. Because, I mean, he was 90% retired. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened with Brett Favre. I mean, the more he wants to escape from him, the more he looks like he's becoming him. Because, you know, when Brett Favre was thinking retiring, he Aaron Rodgers thought he'd never be like that. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers became that. It was just like that as well. You know, so yeah, we shall see if it's gonna go down. Hopefully it will. They got them. Hopefully they won't force another trade with somebody else out of spite, because they feel like, oh, you know, they gotta get what, you know what I mean? Like, instead of doing right by the player, you want to get rid of him. You know, do a fair deal to get something back. Hopefully they don't, you know, go overboard. But, yeah, we shall see, you know, with that. Did you hear about what happened, you know, in WWE on SmackDown yesterday?
I didn't hear, but what happened?
Oh, basically, you know, like I predicted last week, Cody Rhodes called Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn into the ring to try to, you know, make up, you know, and, you know, form the tag team to try to take on the Usos. But Kevin Owens, you know, he turned it down. And then Sami Zayn tried to give him the pitch again and said that, hey, we don't even have to be friends, you know. All we have to do is try to take them down. Kevin Owens said one of his best speeches ever. He said, why would I fight for somebody who doesn't even want to be my friend? And he walks out of the ring and goes backstage. So then they show Kevin Owens in his car about to drive off, and then Sami Zayn, you know, is telling him that, you know, he's sorry, you know, that he loves him, that, you know, that he's like a brother to him, and, you know, he does care about him. So then Kevin Owens looks stunned, but he goes into his car and drives away. So then fast forward, the end of the show, Sami Zayn talks to Jey Uso, and basically Jey Uso was telling him that, you know, he's everything he thought he was, a fake Uso, and that, you know, everybody in the bloodline trusted him, even, you know, the tribal chief, but he saw through him. But then he said the first time he sees himself as a protector of the bloodline. But then when he finally let his guard down and trusted him and called him a brother, then he backstabbed him. And then Sami Zayn said that, you know, you keep blaming me like you have no choice, but you chose to, you know, stay with, you know, Roman Reigns. And then he said, you're just jealous because, you know, I hit him with the chair and you wish you were the one that did it. So then the fans started cheering. Jay, you know, pretends like he's going to talk to the fans, and he sucker punches Sammy. And then afterwards, Jimmy comes out. They jump him. They hit him with the steel steps. then Kevin Owens' music comes out. Both the Usos and the Usos are looking, you know, in the for him to come out, you know, from the the entrance, his regular entrance, but he popped up from behind and attacked them. And then afterwards, you know, he hit a stunner on one of them, and then he hits a pop-up power bomb on the other one. It might have been Jay. I don't remember which one. One of the Usos. So then by this time, you know, Sami Zayn is climbing up from, you know, out of the, you know, he was lying on the mat of the term, you know, on the mat. And then he climbed himself up, standing up, in the ring. And then Kevin Owens embraces him, and then the fan pops. And then while they're showing they're hugging, then they show Cody Rhodes backstage watching on the TV, like a proud father, you know, watching his kids graduate. So yeah, the scene that we all wanted to happen, which I thought was going to happen, it finally happened. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to have to watch the replay of that. But yeah, as we're getting closer to WrestleMania, things are getting intense now.
Mm-hmm. I'm
still waiting to see how this Jey Uso bloodline story is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Jey is the wild card right now. And again, I'm going to stick with what I said before. He's going to do something to cost either Roman Reigns or him and his tag teammate the titles. We'll see what happens. But as far as Cody Rhodes is concerned, he's, you know, I think WWE has major plans for him this year. And I think that's gonna involve possibly him upsetting Roman Reigns and holding those titles. So I think this is going to be a big year for Cody. Watch out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, it's definitely set up that way for Cody Rhodes to finally finish the story and live up to the potential that that he has.
You look to that family dynasty.
Mhm. Like you said, you know, there's not only one wrestling family in wrestling. So.
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I have a question. Do you think Cody should have came back with his older gimmick, the one where he wore, which I think it was the best gimmick, where he wore the face mask and would put the paper bags over people's heads after beating them?
You mean the Dashing Cody Rhodes one?
I'm Dashing Cody Rhodes.
He could have, but I think he wanted to.
That would have been like the best gimmick for him to come back, but I like this American Nightmare gimmick.
Yeah, that's the gimmick he's been using ever since he left WWE. You know,
yeah.
with AEW, and even before he formed AEW, that was basically his whole gimmick away from WWE.
Yeah, I mean, so, I like the gimmick, and I love the song.
Yeah, yeah, that's the same song he had from AEW.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's gonna try to do something that not even his father, the late great American Dream Dusty Rhodes, couldn't do, and even Goldust wasn't able to do. And that's win the WWE title.
Yeah.
So you know, good luck to him. You know, he should most likely win it. And hopefully down the line, Sami Zayn will get his opportunity to win the title. But, what was I going to say? Before I head out, yeah, the Rangers, they had a big victory today, or I should say just a few moments ago, they whooped the Pittsburgh Penguins by the final score of 6-0, blanked them out. Shesterkin had 36 saves. Zibanejad had a goal and two assists. Panarin scored twice. Vladimir Tarasenko, Chris Kreider, and Jacob Trouba all scored, in this blowout. And the Rangers won 9 of their last 11 home games, and they're 12-4 in the last 16 games at MSG. So, props to them, at the Garden,
Just like the Knicks.
Both teams are playing well. Rangers, they got knocked out of the semifinals on my birthday, no less. So hopefully they're going to try to hoist the Stanley Cup like they did in 94. And hopefully the Knicks shall do the same. And, the Knicks, man, they had a big game beating the Nuggets. And that's no joke. They held Jokic, Brunson had his first game back in three days after being injured. I mean, I'm basically speechless, man. They really did their thing against the team with the best record in the Western Conference.
That was a great win today against the Nuggets. The Nuggets are looking to get the top spot in the West. And the Knicks, at times they had to fight back to win that game. They prove how feisty and how tough they've been lately. With the additions of Brunson, who's really changed this team, changed the whole dynamic of the Knicks, and adding Hart.
Hart, yeah.
The best pickup. This guy hustles. He brings defense. He has another element to his team. I mean, they look like contenders right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe I'm saying this. Knicks look like actual championship contenders.
Exactly. We haven't said that since before we even met each other. So we've never said this before. Now I think about it.
They've been beating good teams, and they're playing hard. They're playing gutsy. They're playing defense near the end of the game. I mean, yeah, if they can continue this, into the postseason, they have a chance to do big things.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I still think they're a superstar away, but if they could play like the Pistons did in 04, I mean, anything like Kevin Garnett said, anything's possible. But the odds are against them. But I hope that the odds are against them, but hey, I hope God is with them, and we could get this, we could snap this 50 year drought, man, because it's long overdue. Hey, can you believe it, man? 50 years ago, and 53 years ago, the Walt Clyde Frazier, Willis Reed Knicks, they didn't have a ticker tape parade, man. Like, that's such an injustice.
That's a crime.
My goodness. Hopefully the Knicks can have a ticker tape parade in the near future. Hopefully, I wish it was this year. Man, I wish it was this year. And, hopefully the guys from the 70 and 73 teams can be on that ticker tape, because they deserve it, man. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That, I don't know what was the thinking of not having them have a ticker tape parade. Like seriously, that was the first and only time they won a title. The two times they've ever won it. Like I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
They had three chances in the 50s to win it, and they lost all three in a row. then you obviously the 70s they won it the two times. And then in the 90s, you know, thanks to Jordan, we had a big goose egg. And that's it. That's basically it. And you couldn't give those guys a ticker tape parade? I mean, I know it's 50 years ago and 53 years ago, but, I mean, I don't know. I honestly would love to know the explanation of why they didn't think it was, you know, a good idea to give them the ticker tape parade.
The basketball wasn't as important then.
Yeah, but the team was, I mean, the team was popular. But I don't get it. I just don't get it. And they, 73, like, they already won it a few years. Like, what was the, like, I really don't understand that logic. I really have to research what went into that.
Yeah.
But, let me see. I'm trying to think what else happened. WWE before we head out. Anything major happened on Raw? I can't think of. Sure must be Bloodline related.
I can't remember.
Didn't Trish get attacked by Damage Control? Was this something else? The Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Rey Mysterio getting inducted last.
Oh, yeah. That's well-deserved.
Announced. Yeah, long time, well-deserved. And then you have, another guy who's been a legend in the business, the Great Muta. You know, another cruiserweight, you know, legend. This time he's from Japan. Yeah, man. So far, I guess I can't call him a luchador because he's a Japanese wrestler. But yeah, these mass wrestlers are, you know, getting their just due.
Yep. I hope Rey Mysterio takes off his mask during the induction ceremony.
You know what? It could happen. You know what? Maybe this upcoming week, you know, what's his name? Unmask him, Dominic. You know, the Judgment Day beats him up, jumps him. Dominic unmasks him, and that's what takes him over the edge. And so, you know, he has nothing to lose now that he's gonna face him, because this week, you know, on SmackDown, Dominic was challenging him yet again, and he said usually he would fight a punk kid who doesn't respect, you know, the business and, you know, his elders, but he'll never fight him, you know, because it would be a disgrace to the family. But to picture it this way, Judgment Day jumps him again, and this time Dominic, you know, takes off his mask or rips it up or puts it on his face and himself, kind of like a subtle passing of the torch, but ripping the torch out of his hand, and Dominic is wearing the mask. You know, that basically would end his career, which most likely that looks like that's what's happening, because you know he's like the third person to go into the Hall of Fame as an active wrestler. And, you know, this might be his last match, his dream match of ending his career against his son. You know, obviously storyline-wise, he doesn't want to fight his son, of course. But him taking off, unmasking him would be like the first time ever that Rey Mysterio fights without a mask. He has no honor. The family is disgraced. So since the family is disgraced, he might as well get back his honor and fight him.
Yeah, that Mysterio feud is gonna. Imagine if his son unmasks him during the match. Imagine
It's gonna happen this week. He's gonna get jumped, and Mysterio's going to – Dominic's going to unmask him, and that's what's going to force him to fight.
Yeah. That's probably what's going to happen.
All right, so let's talk about the Oscars. Congratulations to first time winners. You know, everything all at once, won literally every award possible. Probably even won Best Animations for all I know. You know, they won every award. Props to Brandon Fraser, I forgot how you pronounce his name. Let me see how you write his name. Let me make sure I get this right. Let me make sure I get it right before I start butchering people's. Let me make sure I get this right, because Kwan, I hope I pronounced it right. You know, congrats to him getting his first Oscar win for Best Supporting Actor. Brandon Fraser winning it for Best Actor. Michelle Yeoh getting it for the Best Actress. And I'm trying to remember. Who was this? Oh, yeah, supporting actress was Jamie Lee Curtis. So, yeah, man, a lot of actors winning it.
You ended up getting all of them right, I think.
I think so, yeah.
I think you got all of them right. Or at least most of them.
Yeah, I think so. Did I picked everything all at once, too, right? Everything Ever All at Once as the winner, I think.
Yeah. I think you got most of them, if not all of them, right?
Yeah.
So give yourself a round of applause, Will.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But, yeah, it's good to see people who put in the work all those years. They finally got the recognition that they deserve.
How you pronounce his name again?
Kehu Kwan.
Yeah, I'm glad that he won after so many years.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad Brandon Fraser finally won an Oscar with his comeback. Yeah, there's a lot of great comebacks and great wins. So.
Oh yeah.
All well deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Michelle Young, she finally won the Oscar. She became the second woman of color to win it after Halle Berry. And the funny thing is that Halle Berry was even supposed to present the award. It was supposed to be Will Smith, but since he got disgraced for what he did last year, of course. They made the right decision to have Halle Berry presented. So you had the first woman of color presented to the next woman of color.
Yep.
And another thing, guess what else they have in common?
What?
They're both Bond girls, and if my memory serves me right, they were with Pierce Brosnan.
Ah.
Because I think she was in Tomorrow Never Dies, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just make sure about that. Obviously, she was Halle Berry was in Pierce Brosnan's last movie as Bond, Die Another Day. Yes, I am correct. What was I gonna say? Michelle Yeoh. She was in Tomorrow Never Die, and Halle Berry was in Die Another Day. So that would be the second and the fourth Bond film during Brosnan's reign at that time. So, yeah, it was definitely a great moment. You had Kwan finally win it. You know, obviously he was a star, you know, a young star. You know, a short round and Indiana Jones and of course the Goonies. And then because Harrison Ford presented the best movie, which was of course Everything Everywhere All at Once, they had a brief reunion, which is the second time they've had a reunion after 30 something years, in a long time. So Kwan was hugging Harrison Ford. He was like, you could clearly see he like turned into Short Round in his mind. Like he was like fanning out, you know. But that was a great moment. And then another funny thing, another world correlation, if you will, Brandon Fraser and Ke-Hu Kwan were both in his Encino Man.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, it was just a very funny it was great to see all those you know, longtime actors, Brendan Fraser and Ke-Hu Kwan both you know, quit the business briefly because of how tough it is in the business.
Yep.
But they came back and they got rewarded. And then Michelle Yeoh and Curtis, you know, they've been in the game for a long time. And, you know, they got rewarded as well. So it was all in all a great Oscar night. There was a controversy that people were talking about. And that was Angela Bassett's reaction to not getting the award. And to me, I think it's a non-issue. I mean, she was just being honest. Would you want her to fake it that she was happy? She's a great actress. She was deserving of that award as well. So, I mean, why, like, I don't see the people, you know, hating on her like, oh, she's a sore loser. I mean, she wasn't happy about winning. So, I mean, as long as she didn't walk out on her or curse her out or you know, hit her or something like that, like, people have the right to, you know, express how they feel, you know. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I thought she did a great job in Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
She did a great job in both Part 1 and 2. But,
mm-hmm.
I thought Jamie Lee Curtis deserved it. I thought she deserved it. And, I think Angela Bassett should have. She's been a great actress. And she's starred in many memorable movies. She probably should have won an Oscar already.
For What's Love Got to Do With It?
Yeah, What's Love Got to Do With It. I mean, even when I saw that as a kid back in junior high school, I was like, wow, she did an amazing job as Tina Turner in that
movie. Oh, yeah.
She should have won the Oscar for that.
100%.
But, you know, the fact that people are making it a big deal that maybe she was upset that she was Lee Curtis won and she didn't get it, I mean, I think people are blowing it out of proportion. I mean, they're making a big deal out of nothing. I think Angela Bassett was happy for Jamie Lee, and she was just disappointed that she didn't finally get her moment. I'm sure there'll be more moments where more opportunities will she'll be nominated for other movies. But doesn't define how great of an actress she's been. So I don't think that loss should define her. You know, we know that she's a great actress, and she'll have more opportunities in the future for nominations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was great in Black Panther. You know,
yeah.
Hands down, right?
Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, she's been in many good movies, and she's been a great actress throughout her career as well.
Oh, yeah.
So this
was
her moment, and I think she deserved it more.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. And for a winner, who knows? They could be friends behind the scenes too. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, or they could have beef with each other. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fly on the wall. I can't tell you, but yeah, we can't just like tea leaves, read the tea leaves, and be like, oh, you know, people react differently to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, yeah, with that, you know, people reacting to stuff, hopefully people, you know, won't get upset or excited that, you know, this show is coming to an end. So,
yeah.
Anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Check out my show, iMac. We have a special March Madness version on iMac next week, 2-hour special. So check your local listings for that. And come back here to check out Sports and Legend every Saturday at 11, only on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the man. Check out his two-hour special for Mac Madness. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports and Legend TV, and come back next week for the WrestleMania preview. And hopefully Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet by this time, which I strongly doubt it, but we shall see. But again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode, and I'll hope to see you guys next week. Peace.